What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL Live. Joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, Jonathan Holder and Toby D. Gentlemen, what's going on with y'all today?
A loss. That's what's going on today.
Toby didn't waste no time.
A loss.
Not too bad for Monday, though, but yes, a loss.
And as y'all can see, we are also joined by Bryce down here in the left corner. Bryce, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. I'm glad to be on talking with you guys about everything that's going on right now.
Got a few things to go on. All right, before we get too much further, we're going to go ahead and get Fred Butts taken care of.
Already jumping in.
We appreciate you greatly. He says Ritter is the starter until the team no longer believes in him. Tyler said this is Ritter's team, and other players repeated this is his team. We will, like, obviously that's going to be one of the main topics, but as Fred got it in before the show even went started, I wanted to make sure that we got that taken care of. But yes, that is going to be a major topic for the show today. I wish we were doing a Victory Monday, but obviously we are not. But we do appreciate y'all joining us on a Monday. Normally we're here on Tuesday, but as I have a 7-year-old little girl who is looking forward to going to get some candy tomorrow, we decided to do it a day early. And so I guess without much further ado, we might as well just go. Whoa, what you got there?
Oh, my wife says, hey guys,
there it is. Yeah.
What up?
All right. Might as well just jump into it. All right, before we get into ballers and fallers, I think this is where a lot of people are at right at the moment. MJ says, I try to be positive, but honestly, I am done with the season at this point. Grady out, Ritter's turnovers, Arthur Smith always gives weird answers to everything, which we're going to get into that. And then Caleb McGarry is a dumpster. There's a lot of things to be aggravated about. But as we start off every show every week with our ballers and fallers and game thoughts. So everybody wants me to start with Ritter. We're going to get there. Don't worry. All right. Willie, he says he's ready. Willie Doc, you ready to go with ballers and fallers? All right. I'm going to let Willie put his out there, but we're going to go ahead and start ours as we do have a lot to get with. All right. So got to get rid of the banner. I always forget that. There it is. All right. So our baller this week is Tyler Heinicke, for obvious reasons. He came in a game where it was going sideways pretty quick and was actually able to make it a game. Bryce, what was your thoughts as being our guest? What was your like 30,000 foot view thoughts on Tyler Heinicke's second half performance?
He came in there and he does what Tyler Heinicke does. I mean, he's done this before with the Commanders, where he'll come in and, you know, make plays. And, you know, he's a veteran guy. He's been around the block. He's, you know, he knows, you know, he has that experience under his belt. And he's been able to work within this offense and be able to do what they need to do. So I'm not surprised he came in and did it. You could see the confidence in which he threw the ball with, and you could see how he made quick decisions. So overall, I'm not shocked by his performance. I actually was a fan of his back in Washington and just in general in terms of rooting for him. Just because, you know, the way he plays the game, he kind of plays a little bit like Brett Favre. That's someone he looks up to, you know, kind of a gunslinger. You know, like I say, he'll make you winning plays, but sometimes he'll throw those interceptions that piss you off. That's what he is.
Right.
That's why, you know, he is it's kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick in a way. You know, he'll always be good enough to start, but you don't want him to start all 16 or now 17 games. Right. So, you know, that's kind of
And I've talked about that before, the Fitz magic. It always lasts maybe about anywhere between four to six games. Once you get past that, that Fitz magic wears off and he turns back into a pumpkin. And you're like, all right, this is what I thought we were getting with Fitzpatrick. And that's what I think that Heinicke would be if we just said, okay, he's our starter. He's our guy. We might get 4 or 5 good games out of him, and then it's going to fall off after that.
Yep.
I'll say this. Heinicke has made the playoffs. when their quarterback is going down for the Commanders, Heinicke has made the playoffs, and he played big time in the playoffs against some big time quarterbacks, i.e. Aaron Rodgers and i.e. Tom Brady. So, yeah, whether it's five or six games, where we're at eight games right now, nine games left. I mean, so that's pretty much good enough because, I mean, I'm just going to say it, fellas, Ritter is not the guy. So if we're still experimenting on that level, then Arthur Smith should be looking to have himself another job because this guy is stubborn, okay? He's very stubborn. And I'll tell you right now, Tyler should have been starting against the Commanders, okay? We've seen enough of Ritter's turnovers. And I can't keep – this is not David Garrard season anymore. Now, David Garrard did that a lot over there in Jacksonville, turned the ball over a lot. And yes, they had a good defense to kind of help back that up with David Garrard was doing that stuff. But in Arthur Smith's third year, I about have a bet that Arthur Blank is not trying to still experiment. He wants to win now. And I said this before. The first season, it was all about building your team. Second season is about the culture. The third season is win now. We're in the third season of Arthur Smith. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to win right now. It ain't time to wait.
No, I don't – like, there's a lot of that I completely agree with you on, and we're going to get into that as we continue to move forward. Willie got his ballers and fallers in, which we appreciate Willie. He says, ballers, coup, fallers – Hughes and the CBS broadcast crew. Yeah, they were really tough to listen to.
They was, oh my goodness.
They was tough to listen to.
He ain't lied about that.
Honorable mention, Grady and Drake. And then side eye glance, Ledford and Gray. So that's interesting that you went with Ledford and Gray on that. So let's see. That looks like we might have lost Toby for a second, or at least lost Toby's video. All right, so going on to our fallers. I did put Ryan Nielsen, not as in like him particularly, but him encapsulating the defense. Yeah. This is the first like real stinker of a game that we have had from this defense. The defense has been a shining star, so to speak, for this whole season up to this point. And you know, they finally laid an egg. So that was not to be expected. You figured they were eventually going to do it, but you would hope it wasn't going to be against like banana peel eating Will Levis. but here we are, right? Yeah. Bryce, were you kind of shocked with the defense, or was this like a come back to earth kind of moment?
It just kind of depends. I mean, you can even say the defense was due a bad game, you know? I mean, they've pretty much kept us in every game that we've been in this year. So, you know, when you're playing that type of way, I mean, there's games that they could have let this get out of hand in other games because of turnovers, lack of offensive movement, and then they kept us in those games. So eventually, if we're going to keep that up, the defense is going to have a bad game. And I think that's what happened. And, I mean, obviously, we can talk about the pass and the offensive pass interference that wasn't called in that first touchdown and other things that didn't go our way. And, you know, Listen, even though Tennessee hasn't had a great year, I mean, they're still well coached. Mike Vrabel's still a good head coach. You know, they still have Derrick Henry. I didn't know Ryan Tannehill was that bad this year when they showed he only had two touchdowns this entire year, six interceptions. It's worse than Ritter.
Right.
At the end of the day. So that's why they're 2-4. But yeah, overall, I mean, I think it was almost like we were kind of due to have this game with the way the offense played.
Yeah. I felt like it was due. And in a way, like, I know this is probably the pessimistic fan in me. Going into this week, it was almost like a foregone conclusion that we were going to win. And that's when like things start to like bother me in a sense. I much rather when all the pundits pick the other team to win.
Yeah. As a Falcons fan, as soon as you see the thing pop up and says like, who do you got to win this game? And they all go for the Falcons. Like you immediately just like,
yep, that's like a nail in the coffin. Oh. You're like, oh god,
no trap game. Oh my god, I just felt bad. I felt bad about this game almost as soon as we learned that Will Levis was going to start. I was just like,
yep.
I had a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach about it.
But needless to say, like Toby was talking about, and it's something I was talking to Jonathan about before we even got on the air is I'm starting to have that bad feeling about Arthur Smith. And it's not just this game. And it's not even necessarily, you know, the way we've lost or anything like that. We've lost a lot of close games or what have you. It's, for me, it's the lack of consistency. You're not able to build on anything from week to week. That's the part that's starting to rub me the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you have spent now 3 years in a row picking offensive weapons, and you call a play where your tight end two is throwing it to your tight end three.
Well, like, look, if that play results in a touchdown, everybody says he's a genius.
I know. No, I don't.
But everybody would, because it'd be like, okay, you got all these other weapons here, but you do this and catch them off guard. Like, you see that kind of play happen all the time. You see that kind of play happen, not just not for the Falcons, apparently, but you see that play work for every other team. Not maybe not that exact play, but okay, some kind of play where some other guy who nobody expected, whether it's an offensive lineman, the fullback, the Juszczyk, all that time, like whatever, like that kind of stuff. And every time it happens, every single time it happens, it don't matter how good or bad it was before that play. When that play happens, everybody says that guy was a genius. Every single time.
Do you not remember what I said when we were in the stands in the Houston game and you had Drake London throwing to Janu? I said it is too early in the game and too early in the season to be grabbing at trick plays. Now we're going to be grabbing at trick plays every game. That's not.
Probably.
I see. I don't like that. To me, that's not. This is just JR's opinion, right? That is not something that, it's not something that you see good, consistent head coaches do.
I want to go back to the way it was at the end of last season. I want to say, hey, let's rely on our run game. Let's let the offensive line know, like, hey, this is going to be on you. You need to come in here. You need to, like, be able to run block. We're going to do this from the first snap of the game through the end of the game. And I want, instead of let's pass it around and then the second half, let's try to grind it in the second half. I want to grind it in that first half. I want to, like, road pave that team early as we possibly can.
Me and you are dominating this. Dominating this kind of fellow. Let's get into Fred Butts. We appreciate you, Fred.
Appreciate it, Fred.
He says, this is actually Arthur Smith's first year with the team he wants. I disagree there, but I understand what you're saying. I get it. As far as, like, this is the first year with the cap space. So Arthur probably gets two more years. The first 2 years we were broke. We're going to get into that. So I'm glad you put that out there. Kojak Mantucket, which we appreciate.
Hey,
Kojak.
Yeah, Kojak. Family.
I'm going to say, I ain't seen Kojak in a minute.
Yeah,
he,
man.
He says, shout out to Toby's serious look. He's saying exactly how I feel. Toby does have a serious look on his face.
Yeah, he does.
But that's right. It's all good. Big boy Brewski. What's up, Brewski? I recognize that picture. He says, what's up, boys? Do y'all think this is Arthur's last year? This team is too talented to waste. He has already lost. Has he already lost? I haven't seen. Not that I've seen. We'll ask Bryce. Have you seen anything? You got different channels than we got.
I'm dead. I don't think he's lost the team. Nah, I don't think he has. I feel like they're still playing hard. I mean, I think also, I mean, you're first in the South technically right now. So, I mean, there's really no reason to lose the team. It's not like you're, well, we're already like 1-5 and the season's probably over. It's like, well, we're 4-4 and we still have an entire season in front of us. So the only thing I could say is that you may not lose the locker room, but you could lose the confidence of the team depending on certain decisions he makes in the next week or so.
Right. Twigs. Why? You know what? I'm just going to stick with Twigs. How about that?
There you go.
He says, I said at the beginning of this year, we have a good team. on paper wise, but we don't have any true leaders in our QB or our HC. I think Arthur gets a bad rap with his comments in the media when it comes to, and unfortunately for us, that's all we get to see of it. As far as like his interactions with, you know, when he comes in and, you know, slams the, you know, fantasy football crowd, when he talks about the toxic groupthink, when it comes to Ridder, like that rubs people the wrong way. And then you go out and have bad games on top of that, and it doesn't help your cause, right?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick can be a jerk because he's won 6 Super Bowls or whatever, mm-hmm. right? But even that act is starting to wear thin up in New England. You know,
well, they're calling. Not too thin. He just signed a contract extension. So.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are calling for they need to like get a real GM and, mm-hmm. you know, all that jazz and maybe move off from Belichick. It's starting to happen, right?
Yeah.
So even that act will wear thin. And when you don't have the winning yet, it's a tough act to continue. Toby, what you got? Anything else?
I mean, guys, like I said, Ridder, you don't have time for growing pains. Unfortunately, you're in a year now where growing pains is not something that you have time for. Last year, okay, cool. But this year you don't have that kind of time. You built this team for a reason. We know that the Falcons were broke the last 2 seasons. We know this. That's the reason why once you built, you know, looking for the type of players that you were looking for, you built your culture in the second season. Now the third season, all that has to come into play. Evaluations over, culture built is over. You got to win now. And you're not able to do that. This coach, Arthur Smith, I like Arthur Smith. Don't get me wrong. But do y'all know this team has yet to score 30 points on offense? Okay, we are 8 games in. They have not scored 30 points yet. Okay, and they finally got to 24 again in this game.
Right.
I'd be happy with 24, like 24 to 25 most games. Not even – you don't have to get to 30 because if we had scored at least 25 points – in every game to this point, we would be 8-0.
Well, I don't know.
At least 7-1. At least 7-1.
Unfortunately, we're not any of that. So none of that really matters at this point. Score points. This is why you brought Arthur Smith here, right? Offensive mind. Okay, he was scoring 30-plus points over there when he was with the Tennessee Titans. He's not doing that here. That red zone is one of the reasons why you brought Arthur here. He's not doing that either. So he's not doing everything that you brought him here for as a coach is what I'm saying. He's not doing it.
And that's like some coaches, as we've said, some coordinators can make that transition to head coach. Some can't. I don't know. The jury's still out per se on Smith at this point, but you know, they got to figure out whether it's somebody else to help set the table or if it's a deal where you had like he needs an Eric Bieniemy type. Like you've seen, even though they still haven't had a ton of success, you know, you've seen some success up there in Washington with Sam Howell, right? You need somebody like, as we've said a couple weeks ago, Dave Ragone doesn't seem to be that guy. You know, he doesn't seem to be.
I just don't know how much he's actually involved.
Well, and if he's not, then he needs to get more involved. Does that make sense?
You know, that makes a ton of sense.
Right. If it's a deal where Arthur's not able to put in as much time into game planning as he did when he was the OC, because it's hard for me to think that it's because somebody said it up here that so Nick says Henry made Arthur Smith. There's that debate, right? If Arthur Smith doesn't pan out, like truly pan out, you know, gets a 7-8 year run here, you know, you can make that statement, but I have a hard time believing that it was just the one guy. I always point back to that 2020 season, you know, the year before he came here, you had a receiver over 1,000 yards, another receiver knocking on the door of 1,000 yards, Henry with over 2,000 yards rushing and Tannehill getting a new contract.
I mean, like talent makes makes the coach.
True.
Right. Whether that's Henry making Arthur Smith or Brady making Belichick or whoever you want to look at, if you don't have talent, it doesn't matter how good your X's and O's. If you don't have,
you gotta have the right people to execute.
Yes.
Right. Like you have to have the people to execute. And that's the question that has to be answered right now. And this is something I want to get into. I've got the banner up there, you know, Tyler Henneke or Desmond Ridder. The question is, if you're Arthur Smith, if you're Terry Fontenot, that unfortunately you seem like you're going to have to answer sooner than you wanted to, is Desmond your guy? So, Bryce, something we talked about right before we went on the show, Jeff Schultz of The Athletic directly asked Arthur, you know, today at his presser, he says, if Tyler is healthy, is he your starter next week? And Arthur didn't say yes. Like he went on a ramble as he's done before when it comes to injury, you know, injured players. And, you know, he said, we just have to see how he feels. That's all I can say right now. Like he wouldn't say yes. So what do you read into that?
I mean, I think the thing is he said it today. He also said it yesterday. I think people got that first bite of him just saying that we have confidence in him and thought, oh, they're going to go with Ridder. But a lot of people, if you didn't watch the press conference, he was asked again about, you know, Ridder being the starter, and he kind of did not say yes. Because he could easily kill us and say, if Ritter's ready to go in good health, he's QB1. But he hasn't. Obviously, that's after a game. You probably don't want to make a decision as soon as something just ended. You want to be able to reevaluate, okay, is this the best move? So today he's had some time to sleep on it, and he's still not making a commitment. So, you know, it makes you think Heinicke probably is going to be the guy. Just because if you really are confident in Ridder, like he's been this season, you would just go ahead and just say he's the guy if he's healthy. It'd be weird to go through all this just to say, okay, Desmond's the starter. It's like, well, why didn't you say that earlier?
Right.
Plus, you know, people have questions about the concussion protocol because, listen, they cleared him, but, like, on the sideline, he seemed fine. Energetic, involved, headset, nothing seemed like anything was bothering. And they didn't bring him back into the game. I know that brought people questions like, okay, clearly, yes, and it's like a fine line. You know, you want to make sure this player is not – you don't want to – you know, if your medical team says he's good, but then you're worried and then you don't want a Tua situation and, you know, you don't want that. So it was good that he was able to say, yeah, we're not doing that. But overall, I think Tyler played well and you have to keep that into consideration. I said that this could easily turn into, and I don't know if you guys remember, a Tua Ryan Fitzpatrick situation where they randomly started Tua when he wasn't ready. He was struggling. They brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick to win games. Then Brian Flores – Tua is the starter next week, and we go through the same process. And it's like, clearly the team's better with Ryan Fitzpatrick right now than Tua. Why are we keep going back to Tua? Right. And so, like, with Heinicke doing what he did, it's like, do you go back to Ridder? What if he struggles? What if he gets 3 points? What if we only have 87 total yards in the first half next week?
People are going to be calm.
People have seen the offense operate well under him, and now you're putting him in a position to lose. Now you're putting yourself in a position to lose your job with respect to the locker room. Ridder doesn't have support. Instead of just going with the guy who, if he's the best opportunity you have, you're 4-4, you want to win a division, you want to make the playoffs, you've said it since the beginning of the year, you got to do it. If Heinicke's bad, then make him make you have to pull him.
Right.
Don't just not put him out there and just say, we're just going to have to hope and pray that Ridder works out.
That's, yes. Like, okay, you hit on it there. And this is something I was thinking about yesterday, something I was thinking about, you know, while I was at work today, and Toby, we'll see if you agree with here or not. And by pulling Ridder, if it was a health issue, concussion concern, I know if you listen to that CBS broadcast, they didn't barely even mention any kind of concussion concern. So I don't know if that came out afterwards or whatever, because they just made it sound like they benched Ridder, right? So obviously at the end of the game, you know, they didn't say they pulled him for performance reasons. Like he said, that's not what happened, right? And so I got it in this instance. I got to believe him because you go back to last year with Mariota when they finally switched to Ridder over Mariota. He said, we did this for performance reasons. Like, you know, it wasn't a health concern. I know Ridder or Mariota then had the knee thing, whatever, right? So tell me what I'm getting at is you've now seen the offense for a half with Heinicke. Like, did he back himself into a hole here? Did he back himself into a corner by having Heinicke play for a half?
No, because here's one of the things I've learned about Arthur Smith in the past 3 years. His philosophy is he's not going to ultimately put players over winning a game. So
this is true.
It makes it easier for him to put winning a game in front because he don't want guys getting the big head or thinking otherwise about the game if he's putting it on a player. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So if he puts winning as the most important thing, then it keeps the players thinking about winning and however you need to win. So, no, I don't think he's backed himself in a corner at all because this is his philosophy. This is just what he does. So if you ask him about a quarterback, right now he's going to go with whoever can help him win the game. So he brought Heinicke in there to see if they can win, and we almost did. Unfortunately, the defense gave up 4 touchdowns to the rookie, Levis, which was not planned, but they was going to eventually have that game where they were going to give up explosive plays. It just happens to be this game that they would do it.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't think he's backed himself in a corner now because his philosophy is not putting players over winning. So, no, I think he's cool with that.
And I think, like, you know, something we can speak on, and Dirty Bird, I'm going to get to you here in just a second. Like, if you look at what's going on in San Francisco right now with Brock Purdy, you know, he had that concussion. He gets cleared, and he comes in. He comes back and playing. He still doesn't necessarily look the same. Now you could chalk that up to maybe he's finally turning back into Mr. Irrelevant. You know, after almost a year of playing, turning back into a pumpkin, so to speak. Or is it a deal where, hey, you cleared a guy that you clearly should not have cleared? I saw a stat that was talking about Brock Purdy that almost every QB gets cleared to play. Like, very rarely does a QB get a concussion and then miss the next week. So is that just a problem or a loophole in the system? Like, hey, we're clearing these guys because, you know, we need them. You know, for the most part, most backup quarterbacks can't come in and win a game. You know, they're more like, yeah, they're more like glorified coaches, you know, for the most part. And so, like, they get cleared before they should. I mean, we saw it, you know, last year with Tua. You know, clearly should not have been cleared. Clearly. Sorry. I make myself laugh, even if y'all don't laugh. Anyway. Dirty Bird, we appreciate that. $5 for him. He says, Heinicke didn't have as much offensive talent around him in Washington as he does here. I think he could be Arthur Smith's next Ryan Tannehill. It's interesting. I don't know if I agree, but it's a thought process. You talked about Bryce. You talked about, you know, starting Heinicke for the rest of the, like, do you go back, what have you. So do you think Arthur, you know, do you think he's the type of coach that can actually develop a quarterback? We've seen some in the past. One that comes to mind is Bruce Arians, you know, it seemed like he preferred vets over young guys. So do you think that's a stumbling block for Smith?
I mean, it could be. I mean, we've heard a couple of times that his offense is one of the more complex offenses. We've heard that a few times. So obviously when you have complex offenses, you know, that can sometimes make it harder for younger players. That's why they would always say for years in New England, why young receivers didn't work out, because the offense is complex for receivers, and it's just harder for young receivers to do it. Veterans can handle it. In this particular situation, I mean, the only person we've actually even seen him put in a position to develop is Desmond, which, I mean, you had your opinion on Desmond when he was drafted. If you thought he was good, not good, he was going to be bad. So it just kind of depends what his ceiling is and things like that. I mean, he's pretty much had veterans set. Matt ran the offense fine when he was here. I mean, Mariota was, you know, Mariota. I mean, you know, like, it feels like an offense that's, like, suited for, like, you need a veteran quarterback for. and Ryan Tannehill was a veteran quarterback who was able to play well within that offense. Remember, because when Mariota was with Arthur Smith the first time, he was, you know, I think he was like, you know, a couple years in and he was struggling within it. So, you know, and that's a question I also posed actually yesterday, because I was just like thinking long term, like, okay, let's just say Heineke starts the rest of the year, whatever. Well, what do you do at quarterback? Do you take a chance at drafting? I mean, there's a lot of good quarterbacks supposed to be in this year's draft, but do you take another shot at that? Or do you go after a guy, which people are also saying, I mean, best players probably available, maybe Justin Fields, maybe Kyler Murray, Ryan Tannehill. Right. Like,
they're not God, really, I mean, please.
Kirk Cousins just had the Achilles, so he wouldn't probably be even to start next year, maybe. Right. So, like, it's one of those things where it's like, well, where would you really go? Because, like, I know people criticized about Lamar and the Falcons about Lamar, but I also said I get it because first time you get money, if you get Lamar, you gave up 25% of your cap. Now, right. Half the players we have on defense, we don't have.
Oh, so yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
And so we're just hoping Lamar is just good enough to overcome that. That's right. What you basically do. You have to – it's a very – I can get into it, but it's a very complex thing. The Chiefs are doing a great job of that, and that's why they're still good. But –
But also at the end of the day, Lamar was never available.
Well, yeah.
People make it sound like, well, if you just throw him, well, we're not going to give him $80 million a year just to get the Ravens off of him. Like, that's just not good optics for the
fight. Plus, most people have to understand that when you put that offer out there, that ties that money up. Whether he accepts it or not, you now can't do anything until that gets resolved. Like, so they miss out on Bates. Anyway. A lot of that stuff. So, I groan on the idea that, you know, Tannehill might be in a Falcons uniform next year because that would make me sad.
I would probably lose faith in that, in Arthur Smith, if we were to bring back Tannehill, because then it's almost like, well, I can't do it if I can't do it in a very specific way.
Very specific way.
Yep. I was able to successfully do it before.
Yeah.
Like, don't give me that. I don't want your retreads. Yep. Give me something new. That's why personally I'm of the effect of, like, we need to find out exactly what we have right now. Some people will say they know exactly what they got. We don't really know until we get a full year, until he gets a full year in. Even then, we're not technically really going to know. But, you know, I'm hoping that this pulling is because he maybe they had him checked. Somebody saw something that says, like, hey, he might have a concussion. Let's go get him checked. Right. And that gives Arthur Smith the ability to put in Tyler Heineke, just see if we get a spark for one. Two, you can then go back to your quarterback Ritter and say, like, this is like, if you don't clean up your act with regards to the turnovers. Like, we can handle, especially the fumble stuff, right? Like, I can handle him pushing the ball down the field, maybe getting some tip passes that get whatever. But, I mean, you know, throw it to your guy. If it hits him right in the hands and it bounces off and goes to the other team, that's not your fault. Don't care. Okay, that's on the other guy. But, like, keep trying to do that, you know, get better there. But if you don't, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get benched. We want you to be the guy. We think you can be the guy, but you're not bigger than the team.
Yeah.
And maybe this is a reality check for him. He shouldn't need one, but maybe this is a reality check for that. Who knows?
You know, I'll say this, John, I really admire your confidence in believing that Desmond Ridder could still be the guy of the future. Unfortunately, I don't see that. What I can't handle is a guy that can't tell that you're being rushed by a pass rusher that is not coming off your blind side. You sit there and you don't give up two sacks and lose 10 to 15 yards because you can't see that a guy's not coming off your blind side. He's coming off the side you can actually see on. So that part bothers me, okay? And he hasn't just done it in this game. He's done it in previous games before this one. That's the consistent thing with him. Now, you saw Levis, he just started playing and he knew to throw the ball away, okay? He just got in there. So something just don't add up right there. I like Desmond Ridder. I love his leadership. Don't get me wrong. I said this and pegged that from the time we drafted him. I could tell with the way he talks, he's got straight up great leadership. I mean, you saw that when he got benched, basically. And he was still dapping guys up and they was coming over there to the sidelines. But the truth of the matter is, although he makes some good throws, he makes some good decisions, he makes more bad ones than he makes good ones for me. And that just outweighs how I look at him right now. So, I mean, at this point, if they want to bring Desmond Ridder in, fine. I had these guys going to the Super Bowl and winning. That's just me. I felt that good about it. I thought they built a good enough team defensively, and they still can do it in 9 games left if Heinicke is that guy. But if you're going back to Ridder, I don't know if you go back to Ridder at this point. And even you mentioned that, John, if you take him out, right, it might not be a good idea. The dude already looked shook yesterday when he got taken out of the game. He was already disappointed because he knew it was coming. Okay, he saw it when he went on the sideline after that last sack that he gave up. He knew eventually it was coming, and it did, and he looked disappointed. Now, they want to say concussion protocol, if that made his face look the way it was, and he was still out there, so I don't know what they mean about this concussion thing. That's just, to me, an excuse that Arthur Smith, because he don't want to make a final decision. So, I mean, hey, it is what it is.
Willie Doc tipped us $5. Kind of speaking on that, he's kind of answering his comment here. He says, in my opinion, Smith is hiding behind Ridder's concussion. I think he recognized the team is on the cusp of something nice. Run and may switch now with Tyler. And that's something that we're going to get into. We got to pay the piper, so to speak, and catch up on some of these super chats. Fred, we appreciate you as always.
Okay, Fred.
He says, we got 4 wins, all comebacks by Ridder. I don't understand the hate. Okay, I will say this, though, and you got to at least realize this, or at least acknowledge it. You're having to come back because Ridder's turning the ball over and throwing interceptions and putting your team in a not advantageous situation to score. Like, that's why you're having to come back. You know, that's one of the major reasons why you're having to come back. So I get where you're coming from. Those comebacks are great, and they're awesome, but you don't want to have to be in that situation. Bradley, we appreciate you greatly, Bradley.
Bradley.
He says Drew Dolman is a problem, needs to be addressed. People need to give Smith some time. Smith, the other Smith, Mike Smith, and Quinn had Matt Ryan. We handed Arthur Smith, Marcus Mariota, and a 3rd rounder. That's going to be a debate that we can get into here in just a minute. Now, he said it again. You didn't have to tip us twice, Bradley. We appreciate that. Great. I knew we had a lot to talk about this show, so don't feel like y'all got a tip just to get your stuff ready. We just got a lot to get to tonight. We ain't even gotten into the fact that Grady's done for the year, so we'll get to that here in a second. But the deal with like where the team's at, like speaking to what Toby was talking about earlier, speak, JR. English. Okay. You are in.
It's hard sometimes, man.
Dude, sometimes the English just absolutely fails me. all right. So you wouldn't think that I've been speaking it for 40 years or close to it. I'm going to give myself 39 and a half. I'm going to say I started.
Yeah, all right.
So where you really have to fall is like, how do you look at the first 2 years of this regime? Like, do you look at the albatross hanging around the neck of the, contracts of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and other guys that were weighing things down? Do you look at the fact that they did what New Orleans refused to do and actually cleaned up the cap? Right. So if you look at the first 2 years as being, years that you sweep under the rug and like go, okay, 7-10, great, you did it with bad rosters, then like Toby says, first year you start to clean stuff up, second year you start to really put in your culture, third year you should be hitting the ground running, right? And that's the way a lot of us feel, right? So you can really tell how somebody feels about the first 2 years depending on if they're willing to give Smith more time or not. Bryce, does that seem about right with you?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, coming into the season, the way Arthur Blank spoke to me, it made me feel like he would give Smith a 4th year, to be honest.
Right.
And then that would be his year because he understood what the next head coach was getting with the salary cap. Because it's like, okay, well, if I know you're handicapped to give us a talented roster and we're not good, it feels like I'm setting you up to fail and now putting all this pressure on you to you have to win this third year or else you're over because you never know. Injury to a major player can happen. That derails things. And then you never know. But, yeah, I mean, I think that would be pretty on point, realistically. I think, especially because if you look at the roster itself, it's a good roster. This is not a situation of lack of talent. It's more of do you just have the right guy leading the ship? That's the question. Because there's some teams, you know, their coaches in the third, fourth year, you could tell they're just not good enough, and then he's just not good enough. Talent-wise, I think we all pretty much think, yeah, talent-wise, good enough. We just don't know if Arthur Smith is the right guy. But at the same time, one more point.
Yeah.
Last couple of years, with the lack of talent, we won 7 games when people predict us to win 2 or 3 games. And obviously, that's also because the media just does not think Atlanta sports just should be taken seriously unless certain things happen. But this year, now he has talent. And like Mike Bell said earlier today, we're 4-4 like we were last year this time. So he helped us not be the worst team, but he's also now we have talent not being the best team. So what's yep. going on? Is it him? Is it like is it just strictly quarterback? Like what is
it? Yeah, that's the question that has to be answered, right? Is okay, you bring in, you know, you're in your third year, you bring in a first year DC who was thankfully enough able to hit the ground running, right? You know, so you bring in a first-year DC who has done something that us Falcon fans have been begging for, you know, giving us a above-average defense, you know, a defense that we could you know, count on and hang our hat on 8 games in, and you finally have a bad game, right? And so that's something we have been begging for, right? And we finally get it. And so you have a first-year DC. You have a third-year head coach who some could argue is finally starting to get his, like, program really going, right? We used to say with college coaches before the transfer portal, it would take 3 to 4 years before you really knew what you had because you had to get your guys in. It almost kind of feels the same way here. You got, you know, 3 to 4 years before you really know what you have. But I will say this, it's starting to feel like a Brandon Staley situation with the Chargers. You got an extremely talented quarterback, or at least what we feel like is a talented quarterback in Justin Herbert. You got Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa and Derwin James on your defense, and you're one of the worst defenses in the league. You bring in a hotshot OC in Kellen Moore, and you're still fumbling your way through games and choking in the fourth quarter. You know, so it's starting to feel that way. Starting to feel that way here in Atlanta with Arthur, right? Like, you go 7-10 with Matt Ryan and pretty much nobody else. And you're like, man, okay, all right. You've got nobody on defense and you just did that. And then you go 7-10 last year with, you know, Marcus Mariota and a rookie Ridder and pretty much nobody else and nobody on defense except for Grady. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, snap, when we get some talent, it's going to be off the charts. And then we get some talent. We're 4-4 again, you know.
Yeah.
And then you have the blow that happened yesterday. Grady's done for the year.
Yep.
Like the heart and soul of this defense. Mm-hmm. The guy who has, you know, started the Super Bowl as a rookie and hasn't sniffed, you know, hadn't been back to the mountain since.
Mm-mm. Played on some really bad defenses.
Right.
Finally, yeah. His chest play with a good defense, and this happens.
Right.
Yeah.
He gets a running mate in David Onyemata, who is absolutely living up to his.
Oh, he's living up to the bill. Right. I mean, yeah.
And yeah. So, like, I was – part of me wonders, like how much that had to do with the poor defensive performance. Not that Grady, I don't know how to say it, but other than like when your leader goes down, and he's definitely the one everybody looked to, even though you have veteran guys and Onyemata and veteran guys and Bates and Campbell. But Grady was the guy who really got everybody fired up and got everybody going, and he goes down. And part of me wonders if like that had an effect. You
well,
know,
now, well, yeah. Now all of a sudden, Grady, who whenever he was in, if it was Grady and Onyemata in the middle, Grady was getting the double teams. That's why Onyemata was getting the sing. He was getting singled up a lot. That's why he was showing out and beasting and you know all the other things you want to talk about. That guy was like dominating his matchups because he was getting one on ones a lot. Now you flip it, Onyemata is going to be getting the double teams, and they'll probably move in London. He's going to get singled up. Can he beat his guy on the regular one on one? He's doing a pretty good job. He's not, you know, he's not as good as Onyemata or Grady, but he's doing pretty good. Kentavious Street, who we just brought in.
You're jumping the gun. You're getting ahead of my banners, Jonathan.
Hey, you know, I
got banners for a reason.
You got to keep up with me, man. but I mean, like I said, we're going to have to figure out some way to – it's going to be some combination of LaKale London, Taequann Graham, who's – looking better, like he's looking better as he's coming back from injury, and probably another guy or two out there, like I said, the street signing and everything. So
Toby, you were to say something.
No, I mean, it's two things you got to take into account. These guys are still learning the schemes of Ryan Nielsen and company. Okay, that's number one. And then you're 8 weeks in, film has definitely played a role. Okay. Ray with them, when they watching the film, they can see where the mental lapses are on the defense, and they were able to exploit it yesterday. That's why Levis had a good day with four touchdowns, three of them to Hopkins, by the way, because there was a lot of mental lapses on the back end, and we saw that, and that's what led to the explosive plays. This secondary has been huge and monumental to the front, okay, and getting a lot of coverage sacks this year, okay? That's what they've been doing up until this point. And yesterday, unfortunately, they weren't able to do that because of mental lapses on the back end. So I'm not too worried about that because we're still learning the scheme and stuff like that and still trying to get things down. Yes, not taking nothing away from Grady Jerry. He's been a staple of this defense for a long time. But I do believe that you have some guys that are going to be able to step up in his absence and be able to still get his defense going. For the Atlanta Falcons, it still has success, especially on the back end, because really, to me, that's where it's the most important, because it helped that front be able to do what they've been doing the last few weeks with getting the sacks up. The sacks have gone up since the Texans game, and I knew it eventually that would be just a matter of time before that chemistry would hit, and they're starting to do that now. So I'm not really concerned about, you know, I hate that Grady's gone, because this is the first time that's really happened to him in his career. In a year like this, but you know, I think we're gonna be okay.
Yep, Bryce, what's your thoughts on when Grady went down? And then if you want to transition us into Kentavious Street being traded for,
I mean, listen, we traded for Kentavious Street today. He has history with Nielsen, so there's familiarity there. That's one thing about this coaching staff, they'll get players that they're familiar with, so they know, I know he can play, we'll bring him in. You know, and they said he was pretty solid while he was in New Orleans as a rotational guy. So hoping to get that here in Atlanta. But for Grady's situation, it's tough because he has been the guy who has been the face of that defensive line. We've always been, you know, we've been sad for him that he never had someone to play with to help him. And now we finally got that for him, and this happens to him. So it sucks for sure and everything. But I do think one thing that they did this offseason was beef up this defensive line. They added all this talent. They have some young players that they literally like, who can also rotationally come in there too. So it's not one of those situations where it's like we have no one now in the middle. It's what they've talked about, especially if they're able to pull off a trade for a pass rusher, move Campbell inside. He was basically a defensive tackle a lot of his career. You move him inside, and then Onyemata and Campbell is your defensive tackles, and then you rotate, you know, Taequann and all them, and whoever you want. And you have pass rusher and Bud and, you know, AK and everybody like that doing their thing on the end, so you can still have a pretty good defensive line rotation going.
Yeah.
MJ just asked, do you think that we get news tomorrow that we traded for Montez Sweat? There was a report out there yesterday saying that we had offered a third round pick for him. Bryce, do you think ultimately that we land Sweat?
I sure hope so. I mean, the thing is that they could have leaked that out before the game Sunday because they wanted to let teams know, hey, this is what we got. If we really want them, got to give us, you know, because they said they want a second. So maybe they're like, maybe we can push someone to give a second if they really want Montez.
Yeah.
Like I said, I hope we do. I think they'll add to the pass rush. So far, the numbers show our best pass rusher so far has been AK. He's been our best pass rusher. He just doesn't get enough snaps plus rushing the passer. I mean, he's played more in the last couple of games, which has improved the pass rush, but he's still not. I noticed, I don't know if you guys noticed, as soon as Grady went out, that next possession, they had our Arnold like positioned as a linebacker. Like he was like in a 4-3 linebacker. Like he was not on the line of scrimmage. And I was like, like, is this supposed to be a response to Grady leaving, like making him a linebacker? I don't know. It was like interesting they had him as, because they usually do two linebackers. So it was interesting they had him in that third backer role. And people have been like, all right, we're not using him correctly because of that. But, you know, if we can get him in there, Bud, you know, Arnold, you got three guys now who can kind of, you know, get after a little bit. And then you still got him, you know, do some, you know. You see what I'm saying? You still got that. And I think it'll help the rotation.
I think if you can land a guy like the names out there right now that you're seeing floating around are obviously Montez Sweat, Chase Young, Danielle Hunter, and Josh Uche from the Patriots, which me and Toby were both pretty high on when he came out of the draft a few years back. And like, What you're hearing now is that we, you know, offered a third with a conditional second if he were, which kind of sounds like a Fontenot type deal if you take into account what we did with, you know, Calvin Ridley, what you did with, you know, Kentavious Street. Part of that is a conditional pick. So he seems like he really likes that conditional, you know, moving around. And so I really feel like that before Grady went down, there was a real good chance we were going to add a pass rusher. I almost feel like with Grady going down, now you need to add a pass rusher.
Yeah.
Like you brought in Street, you can make do, like you said before, with a rotation of, you know, Onyemata, like bump Campbell down inside, and then have a rotation of, you know, Street and Graham and London and Timmy Horn and all those guys. Like, you feel like you can live with that if you can get more outside pressure.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get more consistent outside pressure, I think you feel like you could potentially live with those guys on the inside, with David Onyemata being like your centerpiece there, the guy who now goes into that Grady role, so to speak. And then with his familiarity with Nielsen, he can become that, hopefully becomes that louder voice.
Yeah.
Bradley says, I've been seeing Zach Harrison play a lot lately. Any rotation, any thoughts on him? Does he step in and Calais play the Grady role? And that could be, if we don't trade for somebody, that's probably going to be what happens, right? I would think.
Well, it'll be Zach Harrison, it'll be Ebiketie, but like on passing downs, you'll definitely see, and we already see it, like we see Calais kind of move inside a little bit, and then on the outside you got Dupree and Ebiketie and whoever else is on the edges. So like we see that already. You might just see him move inside a little bit more. But somebody brought up a Slim Kid here, brought it up saying like playing Slim Campbell Kid at the tackle spot wears him down. That's the reason why we don't keep him there a lot. We keep him at the edge. So like later in the game, he's a little fresher. He hasn't been like just down there in the deep trenches the whole game. And it's just worn out by the time the fourth quarter.
I mean, I agree with that statement. I think it was MJ up here earlier. I was trying to get to it. Oh yeah. He says, any chance Calais requests a trade to a contender? I feel like we do this every year about this time. Who's the one player that we should trade to a contender? Because we don't feel like we should have nice things here in Atlanta. Hey, look, he had a choice to go play for the Jets and Jacksonville. So he chose here. I don't think he would request a trade. Because, you know, like we said, I think a lot of us as Falcons fans are used to the disappointment. So when we see the first signs of what might be trouble, we're already mentally preparing ourselves for, like, okay, well, it was good. It was a good year. We'll try again next year when we're only 8 games in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's something I've been trying to tell myself, right? When the Giants won both of their Super Bowls, they went in as the wild card. Yeah. I think one year was – they wasn't a losing record, but it was close. They had the worst record going in.
Like 8-8, 9-7?
Something, yeah. It was like a 9-7 type deal. Mm. So just getting in, like being competitive throughout the season, especially with the way the NFC South is playing – Carolina just got their first win, and you know Tampa's on a 3-game lose streak. You know the Saints are up and down, so maybe it's a deal where you know we could still, you know, like Fred says, Fred ain't even got a tip this time. He says we're in first place, guys. Calm down.
And like you know the fact that we are in first place even after the loss. It is nice, but I mean that's 1 week, so we gotta come back. We gotta win next week to keep that lead. So we gotta have a bounce back game,
right? That's the part. That's why I stated earlier the part that is starting to concern me. All this could change by the end of the season, as I have stated. Like my opinions are, you know, I can't think of the disclaimer. Anyway, view, you know, possibly change depending on what happens. But the part that worries me is that we're not able to build, you know, the consistency. Mm-hmm. That's the part as a fan. And when I say I'm a fan, like this is like I'm breaking, like y'all may not even be able to see this. I am charting plays on a regular basis. Okay. You know, trying to figure out, you know, what goes right, what goes wrong. Like, you know, that's the part that's concerning to me is you're not able to build consistency. It's week 8 and you just got your rookie running back, this generational running back, his first rushing touchdown. We've heard is how you're going to be able to line him up everywhere. And he really hasn't made a major, major impact as of yet. So whose fault is that? You know, is that the coach's staff? Is that like, who knows, right? At this junction, I would like to say it's the coaching staff. You have, I don't know.
I'll say this right here. I said this before earlier in the season, that there were some coaching trends that I didn't like from Arthur Smith, and I feared that they would carry over, and that's what they're doing. He has yet to show that he can win 3 games in a row. He hasn't done that yet. He's been here 3 seasons. He's only won 2 games in a row, and after that, falls apart.
Right.
Same thing this year. Same trend, okay? The trend of not wanting to play a lot of your starters in the preseason. He's still doing that, okay? There's other things that he's carried over that I feared that could be damaging to the team. And see, when you start seeing a coach get into some of those trends and they're not good trends, that's when you have to start making decisions on whether he is going to be the coach moving forward, because it's those trends that you're looking at when you're looking at a coach and you're judging him based on what he can bring to the table. And right now, Arthur Smith hadn't brought that yet. And I'm still waiting on it. That's why I had him going 10-7, because they have yet to prove that they can win 3 games in a row. They haven't done it yet.
And this was a stretch where you could have easily.
Yeah.
The Titans, Minnesota, and Tampa Bay. That could have been a, you know, a three game stretch that you, and then the Cardinals as well, like, you know, before you went on the bye, that could have been a three game stretch that you could have easily, not easily, but, you know, that you could have, put together. Now you come back home. You're going to have to answer the question, whether it's Heinicke, whether it's Ritter, who starts, you mm-hmm. know, and you're facing a Vikings team who just lost their starter. They don't have their number one wide receiver. There's questions swirling around, you know, whether they're going to trade the NFL sack leader in Danielle Hunter. They seem like a team that's ready to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
So you should.
Which is crazy because they just won. For the Vikings, they won like three games in a row, right?
Something like that. They won three. I know they beat San Francisco before Kirk went out.
Might be two games in a row, but they. I know they were. That was the whole thing last week. Was like, if they had lost to San Francisco, then they were. Then it was basically going to be fire sale.
Right.
They beat San Francisco. Now they beat the Green Bay, so at least two in a row. That kind of squelched the fire sale stuff, but now then Kirk Cousins get injured. Do you then sell everything else around it because you're like, well, we don't have a shot, or
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, like part of me agrees with Willie. All the setup for a Falcons loss.
Pretty much, yep. You talk about all the bad stuff that's happened to the team we're about to play, and it's like, well, this should be a win, but it's not going
to. No idea.
Like, I can't
even. We're going to come in here next Monday and just be like, what happened?
Oh, man, it better not. Good Lord. Let's see. Yeah, we have hashed out the Ritter Heinicke thing, and it is deeper than just Ritter Heinicke, because then it comes into like philosophy wise, like you know, the question that the staff has to answer. So Bryce, I'm gonna put you on the spot. You're Terry Fontenot, you're Arthur Smith, you're the brain trust of this, you know, Falcons organization. Are you rolling with Ritter? Not just this game. I'm talking about, like, do you still have faith and confidence in Ritter? Or have you seen enough and you're ready to move on? We'll let Heinicke finish and then we'll go figure out the quarterback next offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is that I'm not, when I say this, I'm not saying that I think that he shouldn't play. I just feel like you're at a point in the season where you're in a crucial spot. You're 4-4. You're entering the home stretch, and you need to know if all the expectations that you have been telling the fan base that we are expecting playoffs in a very winnable division, we got to win. And so with that, I would probably go with Heinicke in that situation. Because let's say you get past, let's say you start Ritter, get past Minnesota, whatever. The thing is that it's inconsistency week after week. And you just can't be doing this hanging around 500 all year. Now, luckily, this division, you may only need 9 games. So if they can finish 9-8, that may get you into the playoffs. Maybe Ritter can get you 9 wins, even with the inconsistency. As long as he has 5 more decent games and the defense can give us 5 more good games, we maybe get to 9-8, especially with our record. Because so far we have tiebreakers on guys, and we have a good divisional record so far, and we want to try to keep that up. So when you do that, put yourself in a great position. But it just feels like it feels like you kind of have to go with him. Because like I've said, I'm worried about, you know, players in the locker room. Listen, they we're all their people. Yep. They know that, like, listen, if this is how he's gonna play, we're not gonna get where we want to go. And I didn't come here thinking we were gonna be a team that just didn't that wasn't
right.
Yeah,
yep.
Right.
I didn't come here believing that was why. Like, I think they like Ritter. Like, I feel like Ritter's one of the guys you don't dislike.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he always is good. He wants to be good. He's going to work. He's not going to do anything that's like, yeah. You know, there's a reason why, you know, people don't want Kyler Murray, because there's like, oh, he don't study film. He's not committed. And then, you know, that's why, like, I don't know if I want that on my team. Yeah, he got talent, but he may not work hard. Ritter going to work hard. So, but at the end of the day, when you play on Sundays and you play whenever they play, you hoping that we going to we're going to move the ball. We're going to be able to be the offense we expect, that maybe I could get my numbers. Because the thing about Ritter that was difficult for people was before this game, he's had 300, 300, and 250. Mm-hmm. One of his biggest issues, he could barely get the 200. And then he was able to do that. Drake London had a career high. Pitts is catching more balls and got a touchdown. Like, okay, I see the progress there. I see the progress there, but the turnovers.
Right.
Right now, you're going the Jameis Winston trajectory. You're going to get your 30 points. You're going to get 30 touchdowns, but he's going to give you about 25, 30 picks. And right. You can see that still puts you right. What were the Tampa Bay that year? 8-8.
Right.
And look how he's played. Very just does good, does bad. And where are we? 4-4.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you got to, like, we're too good to just be just in the middle. Something has to either be, either we get worse or we get better. We can't just stay where we are.
Yeah, the worst thing you can be, it doesn't matter if it's the NFL, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, the worst thing you can be is mediocre.
Just yeah, and
middle
that's,
of the road.
And that's what we're, unfortunately right now, that's what we're staring at, right?
Right.
You know, and I, okay. And there's a thought here, like, you know, MJ says, you know, we can just trade up for Caleb Williams and we can all paint our finger. I'm not painting my fingernails. I'm just gonna go ahead and call it. I understand that this new generation.
If he wins a whole lot of games and we need to do it to help us win a Super Bowl, I'll paint my fingernails whatever color he wants me to paint them.
Well, you look all right, fine. You can be the show representative because I am not.
You handle that, John. Handle that. That's all you, buddy.
if it's me putting coloring on my fingernails and that means we win a Super Bowl. Or if I don't do it, we don't win a Super Bowl. I will put it on my name.
Forget the pearls, Jock Peterson, the pearls for the Braves.
Hey man, exactly. You know what? We were, and because of that, we were those MFers. I'm just saying.
Look, all right, fine. I'll go on record and say if it means, like, I ain't gonna do it all season, but if we're staring at a Super Bowl, I might paint a fingernail. Can I get one? I can't help y'all. Okay.
Look, you just gotta grow out your Coke nail and then you can paint.
Oh Lord, talk about a Coke nail. Oh my God. Okay. We are going off the rails.
Oh
here,
my
Jonathan.
Goodness. It's a family show, John.
It's a family show, John. We try to be.
No. Don't I'm talking about the beverage that you get out of the refrigerator.
Oh, okay. Good way to turn it.
Use that nail to open.
Look, y'all worried about Kyler Murray. You know, he comes from that same system. That's
yep.
Like there's things I worry about with Caleb
Williams.
I'll take Drake May over Caleb Williams. Get there in that sense. You know, all right, Toby, I'm asking you the same question, even though I know your answer. You know, you the brain trust. What you doing the rest of the season?
It's Heineke all the way.
You cracking a cold one and going, huh?
Yeah, I'm going with it. Interceptions and all.
Yeah, understood.
He's
yeah.
Veteran presence.
Jonathan, what you doing? You sticking with Ritter? You going with Heineke? You're the brain trust. What are you doing?
I'm probably gonna start Ritter and let him know he's got a short leash and see how he handles that. That. I mean, all of this is a test for him, right?
Sure.
Whether they just blindly go back to him and, like, let him play the whole game regardless of the outcome, or you flat out tell him, hey, we're gonna start you this coming Sunday. You give us another first half like we did in the week before. That we're gonna yank that leash and we're gonna put Tyler. So, like, that's what I would do. Because I want to also see, like, how does this guy handle this situation as well. Because you got to be able to handle this kind of adversity and these kind of potential personnel decisions down the road. Like, let me know. Like, let me know what you can and can't do in that situation.
Yeah.
Tabig says you got to go with the hot hand. Not to mention Heineke was doing great NFL passes. Like, nobody's denying, in a sense, that Heineke can win you some games. That's why he was brought here. He was brought here as a safety net. You know, if Ritter fell on his face and or what have you. Haven't necessarily fell on his face, but as we've said before, he's not building in a sense. Still making a lot of the same mistakes, and that part is truly worrisome. But yeah, they have a decision to make. And by answering the questions the way Smith answered them, he's left that door open where he easily could have shut it. If playoffs is the goal, as it should be, right? If playoffs is the goal, as it should be, if it's me, you know, I think I may have to go with Heinicke and let it ride and look at Desmond and go, hey, look, I appreciate it. We gave it a run. You're in this cold business. You are a third round pick that I am not tying my job to. Like, I hate to say it like that. I'm not saying that I don't think Ritter could be a career QB, but like, I don't think it's going to be here. Right. If you play Heinicke against Minnesota and he comes out and just moves the offense and scores touchdowns, and it looks like it should, like it did in the second half, 20 points in the second half of the game, you know, then, dude, that's all she wrote. You gotta, even if you don't go with Heinicke for like years to come, you know, you could do a Nick Foles kind of thing. He wins the Super Bowl and he's on a different team the next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the business.
Did Tyler Heinicke, did he play at Oregon?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Chris is like, he has held the water for him more than a few times. And I'm just curious because I'm pretty sure he's a big Oregon guy.
Yeah, I don't know where he played at.
Yeah, Tyler Heinicke played at Old Dominion.
At Old Dominion, okay. Yeah. Okay. Willie Doc says, don't forget about Logan Woodside. I already forgot about him.
Yeah.
Who? Yeah, exactly. I already forgot about Logan Woodside.
Yeah, man.
Oh, let's see. Bradley says, if Ritter falls on his face, we can draft a top-tier talent at QB. We will then be, you know, coaching destination if Arthur can't figure it out. I'll tell you this. If you, like, you know, you get into the playoffs or whatever with Heinicke, you don't go back to Ritter, you can, you know, mortgage your future if you feel like everything else is in place. You'd be very willing to give up a couple first-round draft picks if you feel like, hey, I got Drake, I got Kyle, I got Bijan. You know, I feel like my offensive line is decent enough, even though that's questionable for as Sunday went. But, you know, if you feel like it, you could easily mortgage your future, so to speak. Oh, Fred's got another $2. Thank you, Fred. He says, if Tyler was good, he wouldn't be a career backup. That's always been my argument. I said that even on the I am not thinking that, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, right, if y'all feel different. Even if you go with Heinicke for the rest of the season, I don't think he's your QB in the future. Mm. Like, I don't think he's that guy, even now, you know.
He's basically a Nick Foles.
Right. Nick Foles, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Right. You know, we've seen these guys. Like, he can win you a handful of games. He can make it fun. But I don't think, like, because Fred's not wrong. Like, Washington let him walk out the door. They had a good look at him all year, you know, for the last couple of years. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's going to pretty much do it for us, unless y'all got something else. Anybody? I don't want to step on that.
Good.
No, you good?
I'm about ready to go get me something to eat.
You want to get something to eat? I have some nachos for dinner. What you going to get?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on. You got to have a plan.
It's going to be some delicious food. I just don't
there
know
you
what
go.
It is.
Yeah. Right. Bryce, where can folks find you, my friend?
Yes, sir. You can follow me on Twitter at Bryce_2Ks. You can see it on the screen the whole time. That's my Twitter. Also, my YouTube as well. I do a Hawks podcast, Believe in Hawks Pod, for the Believe Podcast Network. If you want to catch up with all my Hawks content over there, covering the team, everything that's happened throughout this, that's going to happen as the season goes on. I also do some Falcons content as well. If you also are a fan of, well, if you're watching this, you're clearly a fan of that. So, you know, I have all that over there just, you know, trying to, you know, do what I can, get back to the community. Obviously, yeah, I appreciate you letting me be on the show, giving me the opportunity to talk to you guys, man. It's been fun.
Yes, sir. Enjoy the conversation.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on. Now, look, dude, I saw the other day that you just, like, you switching to Charlotte, is that right?
It's Greenville, South Carolina.
Greenville. Okay. Okay. So you're doing, what do you do for the news station over there?
I'm a producer.
Nice. Oh, yes, okay. That's nice. Pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. Yeah. Y'all definitely check out his stuff. Like we don't do a lot of, Hawk stuff, obviously here on, but, like that's one of the reasons why I follow Bryce is because he keeps me abreast of the things that are going on with the Hawks. So lets me know who I should be rooting for. And I think Jalen Johnson is the next. Like I think I saw people like comparing him to who? Like I know it was like LeBron, but it was something else. It was somebody else. Who was it?
LeBron, Scottie Pippen, Josh. That's Smith. It.
Yep, yep. There you go. See, right. You got to get that kind of perspective. as always, folks, y'all can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Grimm1128, GRIMM1128. Toby.
Toby D 1991.
Jonathan.
At Jonathan M Holder. Come by, say hi.
There you go. We appreciate y'all hanging out with us here on Monday. We'll be back to our normal, regularly scheduled on Tuesday next week. Like I said, got to go take the little one. She's Princess Peach this year, and I got me nice. A gorilla shirt, and so I look like Donkey Kong. What's up? Anyway, so, we appreciate y'all, and as always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.
Rise up. Rise up.